Hello and welcome to this episode of Invest Africa Insights. Today we're going to be speaking about an often overlooked asset class in Africa, real estate. The continent's rapid population growth, urbanisation and drive to boost trade should all point to a boom for commercial and residential real estate. However, from hotels to retail spaces and office buildings to residential homes, this year has been very challenging and the impact of COVID-19 has been far-reaching. To speak to us about how the sector has responded and the future of African real estate, I'm delighted to be joined by Bronwyn Knight, CEO of Grit Real Estate Income Group. Bronwyn, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Grit is a pan-African real estate company, and you invest and manage properties, you know, from warehouses to shopping malls to hotel resorts to office spaces. So very diversified. So to kick us off, Bronwyn, I was really interested to get your sort of macro view from that perspective of managing that portfolio on what the impact of COVID-19 has been across those sort of subsectors of African real estate.
Yeah, so Grit is a sort of multi-geography, multi-asset class real estate company. And what we have seen, interestingly enough, is that 52% of our property portfolio is exposed to corporate accommodation, which is predominantly long-term letting to multinational type tenants and embassies. So 52% of the portfolio is corporate accommodation, light industrial, and office. And interestingly enough, we've actually seen little impact on these particular sectors. So what that means is that our collection rate on these tenants have been over 100%. We've been able to renew leases, and we've seen these sectors perform and continue business as usual. Now, offices is an interesting one and very different to what you've seen in developed worlds like the UK and Europe. And what we've seen is that because the infrastructure doesn't necessarily exist in people's homes across the African continent, especially in more undeveloped Africa, and because of the sophistication of the office space for some of these global tenants, even though there was a partial lockdown and people didn't go into the office for a small period of time, most of these people have returned back to their office space. So where you see in sort of developed markets like the UK and Europe, a possible consolidation or reduction of space in the office sector, we're actually not seeing that at all across Africa. So that is an interesting nuance to what you see out of developed markets. Now, the balance of the Grit portfolio is retail and offices. Retail and hospitality. On the retail side, our convenience shopping, which is really strip malls with large food anchors, predominantly servicing mass market shopping, has seen little impact because it is a supply for basic needs. Our clothes mall, specifically in Morocco, has seen the biggest impact and has experienced what you've seen in Europe. And we have seen some retraction in that particular market, as well as clothes mall retail in that market. So, you know, what we've seen is that convenience retail is actually just trading business as usual because it's supplying basic human needs. But the more sophisticated upmarket retail is posing to be a bit of a challenge. What we also seen on the hospitality side, over just 25% of the Grit portfolio is exposed to hospitality. Our specific hospitality is focused in Mauritius, and we have three predominant groups that make up our tenant base, that is Club Med, Beachcomber, and Lux. Because of the importance of tourism in Mauritius, and because Beachcomber and Lux are one of the largest employees of staff across Mauritius, we've seen very, very large government support go out to these particular groups. And what that has meant is that they have had their wage bill subsidized, they've had their land leases subsidized, they've received support funding from the Central Bank of Mauritius, which means that they have been able to pay their rentals mostly up to date with ourselves. So just a reminder that we don't take operational hospitality risk. We are purely letting the bricks and mortar out to these tenants. So operationally, we're actually not exposed, even though obviously the importance of the success of our tenants' business is key to us. So we've had to give them some form of cash flow holiday, but no rental remissions that have had to be given. So that is really specific to the Grit portfolio over this COVID period.
And you spoke towards the end there, you know, about sort of cash flow support and sort of, you know, specific measures like that. But I'm also curious in some of what you were saying, whether some of this has changed your strategy going forward, you know, particularly around potentially retail spaces and e-commerce, increasing the need for warehouses? You know, has it changed your thinking going forward, or are you actually thinking with the diversification of your portfolio, you've been in quite a strong position and the sort of strategy can continue as it was?
So I think, you know, the diversification of the portfolio has strengthened us and continues to be a strength over what we're seeing as dynamic or challenging times. We were quite vocal sort of pre-COVID to say that we did want to reduce our retail exposure. That was more focused around the fact that we find it, because we are multi-geography, we invest in 8 countries across Africa, outside of South Africa, that the sort of triple net corporate accommodation, embassy, multinational, light industrial type asset class is a much easier asset class for us to manage because of the geographic diversification. Retail always has its complexities because of the nature of the actual asset itself. So even though we're happy with our retail portfolio as it stands, our pipeline actually hasn't, even pre-COVID, contained any further retail investment. And it's really around the focus strategy of GRIT. So we're chasing counterparties, so we're chasing tenant strength. We're doing a lot of work with American Embassy around the residential needs across Africa. So for us, our sort of pipeline is driven by more the multi-global, single-tenanted type assets. And also on the e-commerce side, so yes, there is some impact in Africa, but not to what you're seeing in the UK necessarily or in Europe. So again, you know, e-commerce, you know, is on the basis of logistics being in order, having physical post box addresses or delivery addresses, and the infrastructure of certain of these African countries just doesn't support e-commerce to what we understand it. So what you see is you might see sort of these e-commerce opportunities going into these countries, but more on the basis of guys actually going to the particular site, collection of goods, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, there is an element of it, but not to the extent of impacting retail, how you're seeing in developed markets.
And you've touched on a bit there and in the previous sort of answer about, the view of Western investors, I suppose, of sort of real estate market in Africa. And you've recently listed on the premium segment of the London Stock Exchange. So congratulations on that, first of all. But I'm curious, why was that an important strategic move? And do you think, given what you're saying, we might start to see more international investors turning to African real estate as a sort of safer asset class?
Yeah, so I mean, the uniqueness of the GRIT story. So we listed in London on the standard listing in July 2018. To give you an indication, our UK institutional following at that stage was 18% of our share register. Today, it sits on close on 40%. And that has been a big education process because a lot of our UK institutional guys are investing in Africa or an alternate stock of this nature for the first time. So, the benefit it does give sort of Western investors the ability to access Africa, but through a very highly governed structure. And that was one of the rationales or reasons for stepping up to the premium segment. So, we've always seen that emerging markets have historically had possible challenges with governance structures or understanding of how to access them. And to have a premium listed stock as a GRIT, it gives Western investors a platform or bridge to actually invest in the African real estate story. Now, why invest in the African real estate story and not in the European real estate story is that this is where we're still finding tremendous growth. So where we see other markets lacking growth or having oversaturation of certain asset classes and retail segments, even to an extent, some of what you're seeing on the light industrial, Africa having 52 countries, GRIT is invested in 8, has a huge projection and trajectory of growth in the up and coming years. And I always say that Africa is really the last frontier of growth. You know, where do you get an opportunity to still have the opportunity to see significant growth in the market? And Africa is a perfect conduit for these guys to be able to achieve that. And through GRIT, which is this bridge of governance and understanding and a management team that is physically present in these markets that mitigates a lot of that perceived Africa risk.
And Bronwyn, I'd love to sort of look a bit more into sort of the future of African real estate, sort of drawing off that. and get your thoughts sort of on some of the big trends we're seeing, some of the sort of exciting and headline grabbing trends around tech and digitalization. Do you see that as having a big impact on sort of facilitating access to the African real estate market? Or do you think maybe that's a little overdone and not quite ready yet for sort of mass impact?
Yeah, so I mean, I probably you're not going to answer this question how you've asked it, so I'll just change it up slightly. So I think, you know, when I look at digitalization and tech, I look at it from a real estate perspective, actually. And what we are seeing is we're seeing massive opportunity in the digitalization in relation to the actual infrastructure behind that. And what I mean by that is, we have seen the optimization or the expansion of data centers across Africa. So it's interesting because, you know, you have countries that have come from nothing in relation to connectivity, internet connectivity, Wi-Fi, and now you've seen a massive leapfrog into really sophisticated systems. So you go into countries like Kenya, Rwanda, East Africa, and you would be astounded at the sophistication of the underlying technologies that sit behind the digitalization of the actual economy itself. Now, that poses to be a very interesting asset class for us because of data centers. So our development company, Gria, is involved in the building of a huge data center in Nigeria. This particular group who is sort of running out this data center implementation across many countries across Africa, we are looking at being their real estate provider. So basic technologies and the leapfrogging of those, and it goes to many segments of digitalization, it's sort of transformation in this area. So telecommunications, wireless systems is a huge opportunity across Africa. And, you know, sort of mobilized banking, all of these things, it's a huge leapfrog. And you're seeing these countries becoming hugely automated ahead of even countries like South Africa, who sit on quite historic infrastructure in relation to this. So it is a very interesting one. And these technologies now, technologies in relation to just ease of doing business, blockchain, all of these, there's been numerous discussions. And we're actually seeing some of the larger financiers across Africa driving a lot of these concepts too. So for me, there's a mass amount of opportunity. And we actually as a group want to focus a lot more on the technology side and how we as a real estate partner can impact that in these various regions.
And that's really interesting, actually. And you mentioned there sort of very briefly at the end, ease of doing business and sort of how tech can sort of unblock some bottlenecks in that sense and sort of potentially improve transparency. I was interested to get your views because obviously, you know, we've been talking about Western investors coming into the market, and one of the hesitancies often is sort of around these ease of doing business issues, property rights issues, bureaucratic procedures, registrations, and things like that. So I was curious to hear from you whether you're seeing any sort of improvement there, or what you would say to investors who aren't familiar with the African market about some of those potentially prejudices or beliefs about the challenges there.
Yeah, so I mean, you'll hear me say often is that you know, sort of Western investors tend to paint Africa with one brush. So you know, there's a big education that there are 54 countries in Africa, and sort of the governance structures vary from one country to the other. So the challenges is that you will have a issue in one particular country. And Africa gets tainted. So let me use a prime example, like Zimbabwe. You have an issue around that particular geography, and the rest of the continent gets painted with that brush. So, you know, I always have to remind investors that there is investment grade Africa. So countries like Morocco, Botswana, and Mauritius are reporting at the highest levels. All three countries have qualified for investment grade. That means the sophistication of the underlying financial services, the regulatory authorities, the land ownership, the title are very, very sophisticated, actually. So that's very, very important to note that you do get those in countries. And then you have sort of growth Africa, whereby these countries are currently very focused on the sophistication of their systems, including REIT implementation, sophistication of their own stock market processes, the transparency around that, the implementation of governance into their stock markets, And, you know, GRIT sees itself as one half of our portfolio is exposed to investment grade Africa, and that is relatively risk mitigated. And then the other half is growth Africa. But there are countries in Africa that we won't invest in because they do sit very far behind what we would expect from a governance perspective. So it's really important that Western investors actually understand that differentiation. And the GRIT team is here to, one, educate, explain, and operate, but also to really be the conduit to these investors who don't necessarily have the time or the ability, or they actually just don't want to, but they want access into the Growth Africa story. GRIT is the conduit to be able to give them that with working through all of these, all these perceived risks.
And I suppose, so the obvious question to ask then in that context is which are the, I suppose, you know, we know what the maybe the established investment grade countries are, but which are the high growth markets then that, that you see as having a significant real estate opportunity and the sort of governance structure to back it up?
Yeah, so from our side, you know, countries like Kenya, so we see huge growth opportunity, specifically East Africa, but obviously East Africa for me is anchored out of Kenya. The logistical distribution, warehousing, the logistical connection into other countries, the hub is Kenya. So Kenya promulgated REITs a couple of years ago. They've spent a lot of time on the sophistication of their title system around land ownership, around sort of their regulatory frameworks, their tax frameworks. So Kenya, for me, specifically around that light industrial warehousing asset class, provides both a regulated and high growth environment. You know, we are seeing countries like Ghana, again, sort of high growth in particular sectors, and also the sophistication around the regulatory system. So, you know, for us, they are very specific countries. As I mentioned, Morocco, Mauritius, and Botswana are more stable. Mozambique falls a little bit under on the governance side. So a company like GRIT, we have political risk insurance for countries like Mozambique, which covers dollar liquidity and expropriation of funds, which is just another layer to mitigate what is perceived as a regulatory possible risk in Mozambique, even though we see Mozambique specifically as very high growth. And our portfolio over the last 7 years has really highly performed in that segment. Countries like Senegal are very much up and coming. The government, the current government's done a lot around education to the foreign markets, around the governance structures as well. So we're really excited about these opportunities because if you can keep at the forefront and being able to sort of invest in a high growth, highly governed sort of country geographic sort of node, you get the best of both worlds. And ultimately, that's where we sit. And the benefit of also getting local pension fund money. So about 60% of GRIT's investments holding is local pension funds in Africa. And having those alongside us is also really, really important because the sector is obviously very important to them and the success of our business too.
We often hear that about local pension funds on here cross sector and you know the importance for investors to actually look at the sophistication of sort of local financial systems and really bring them in more. Is that something that you're working actively towards, or is that something that just sort of comes when it does?
No, I mean I think it's important. I mean to work actively at it. I think you know. What we've always said, and it's even, I mean, a good, just slightly going off topic, I mean, if you look at the entire real estate cycle, so, you know, in order to effectively run a real estate portfolio, you need effective property management, facilities management, legal, all of those administrative type services. Now, in developed markets, those ordinarily exist, and you have external consultants that do them. In the markets that we operate, they don't necessarily exist or they're not sophisticated enough. So we've actually had to set up our own internal offices to run those governance type elements in the business and sort of upskilling in particular countries. So you can't just go and buy a real estate in X country, a building, and think it's going to operate itself or you're going to have access to those services. So, you know, you need to be very proactive and also working with the regulators. So we've done quite a bit of work just jumping around a little bit in the promulgation of REITs in Ghana. We were working in Kenya. We've been working in Morocco. There's been discussions around Mauritius itself. There's been discussions about Botswana. And we want to be at the forefront of that introductory of REIT status because also, again, it's an international concept that's understood by Western type money and it makes it easier for these guys to access these countries if they are REITs.
And another sort of key trend I wanted to discuss briefly with you, looking forwards again to the growth of African real estate, is the African Continental Free Trade Agreement. And you touched on it a bit, talking about Kenya and East Africa. Kenya is, a trade hub, and that being an attractive feature of the Kenyan market. So are you optimistic about the trajectory for African trade and how that might feed in to a real estate market over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, if we take a longer view rather than the immediate challenge of implementation and COVID as well with its complications?
Yeah, so I very much am. And I think sort of even pre-COVID, there've been quite a few countries that have really been working hard, countries like Mauritius, countries like Rwanda, countries like Kenya, even some of the Middle Eastern countries, countries like Morocco, have been working really hard around the creation of sort of these trade agreements, the creation of even within their own countries, tax-free zones so people can optimize and sort of trade and move goods, et cetera, et cetera. So, if you look at the population growth and you look where Africa's going and you look at where the youth are sitting across the African continent and you look at the rising middle class across Africa, this stuff has to play catch up. Yes, it might take time. Yes, it might be slightly delayed by sort of macroeconomic challenges. But, the infrastructure just doesn't exist in Africa, but the need exists. So now it's to try and match the infrastructure or the creation or the development of real estate to the need. And I always say in my lifetime, I probably won't achieve this, but the opportunity is huge.
And Bronwyn, to end the show, I always put people slightly on the spot and ask you, if you were going to pick perhaps something that maybe you're not already doing, but a trend, an asset class or a country that really, really excites you for the future, what would your number one sort of tip be to look at in African real estate?
I have to be careful of not giving away our trade. But I'll speak selfishly and personally, actually. So I think healthcare for me is a massive opportunity. So we've actually, since I've been involved in real estate way back when, and obviously the work I've done across Africa, the healthcare opportunity and now it's even being pushed to the forefront with what's happened with COVID. So I've seen a huge willingness from government, international operators wanting to access Africa, the need for healthcare, the need for specialty services, how people have had to travel for healthcare and having to leave particular countries because they just don't have it available. So for me, I'm really excited around healthcare opportunity. That is in countries which I sort of, we operate in today, countries in East Africa, countries even in Morocco. We're looking at two healthcare operations, oncology specialty units in Mauritius itself. But for me, if you look at the basic needs of people, I mean, education is another one that really interests me, but healthcare is really at the forefront. And if you can sort of pick an ideal sort of operator who's looking for expansion, and a lot of them are out of these developed markets and is looking for a growth story, you can partner successfully with government, you can partner with the DFIs, which is the developmental funding coming into Africa. I think you've got a really good success story in the real estate segment. And I suppose if I could make that my day job, I possibly would, over and above what I do at Grit. But that is a really exciting asset class for me.
Bronwyn, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us. Really, really interesting insights. And I hope people are listening to your healthcare tip as well.
Perfect. Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity, Eleanor.